Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora and good afternoon. Welcome to Well 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 here with Mike Thompson. And we've got a couple of special guests which we'll introduce right now. We've got Shannon. Kia ora.
Kia ora, Brett. My name's Shannon. I'm from the Wairarapa here. Whakapapa to Tumapu here, Ngāti Hāmua, and Ahuru Nui Orangi. Kia ora.
And also, Clint, welcome along. Great to have you here. Really appreciate it.
No worries. Kia ora whānau. My name's Clint Tamihana, no Wairarapa hau. Ko Ngāti Toa, rawa ko Ngāti Kaumenu, rawa ko Rangi Tāne Taku Iwi. Ngā mihi whānau.
Awesome. Shannon, you'd like to open us with karakia?
Ai, ka pai. Whakataka te hau ki te uru, whakataka te hau ki te tonga. Kia mā kina kina ki uta, a kia mā taratara ki tai. E hi ake ana te ata kura he tio, he huka, a he hauhu. Ti hei, mauri ora.
Awesome. Hey, welcome on board, because you are a special guest today for our White Ribbon show. And Clint, yourself, you're a White Ribbon ambassador. How long have you been an ambassador for White Ribbon for?
I've been a White Ribbon Ambassador for about 2 years for our White Ribbon accredited business in Carterton.
Is it you're one of the first councils to be accredited? Is that?
Oh, yeah, no.
No.
There were two other councils that were accredited before us, but we're one of the first.
Awesome. Mm. Cool. And Shannon, your working at Whaiora, are you?
Well, I'll just work alongside another. Yep. Tāne that facilitates the tāne order space, but I have my own lived experience in relation to this type of this mahi. I'm grateful that you've been asked to be a part of this today. It's the beginning of me giving back, I guess, as part of into this kaupapa.
And to me, that's what it's all about. I know with some of the men's group that we've got men making huge rehabilitation efforts and other stories. I like to be out there to inspire other people that sometimes the way we act, we think that's the best way, and until we learn different, we don't actually make those changes. So let's have we look at a bit of the history of White Ribbon. So back in December the 6th, 1989, in Canada, 14 women were killed in a mass shooting, and that was at the University of Montreal. So a couple of years later, some men launched what was called the White Ribbon Campaign, and that's where it's kind of kicked off. So by 1999, the United Nations then officially recognised the 25th of November as International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. It came to New Zealand in 2004, and about 15,000 ribbons were given away there. As the years have increased, they were somewhere up to distributing about 500,000. And by 2009, they introduced the White Ribbon Ride. They've had other initiatives like the White Ribbon Breakfast in Parliament. They also had a White Ribbon Breakers game. And the White Ribbon Riders even drove through 40 North Island centres. By 2011, New Zealand Football had come on board, and things have kind of continued to 2016, where they also introduced the Respectful Relationships theme. And now, even if you pop onto the website, you'll see that they have a bit of a toolbox. The thing that they ask men to commit to take at least one of these eight actions: one is listening and believing women, two is reflecting on and changing their behaviour, three, disrupting other men's violence towards women, four, treating women as equals, five, choose how to be a man and how I will act, sixth one is talk to a young man about breaking out of the man box, seven, think about what they watch and what the media they use. And the last one is talk with young men about respectful relationships and pornography. Now, if there isn't enough in those topics there to be discussing, we can understand why men in general can go off the rails at some stage. Clint, would you like to start off with White Ribbon and your involvement? Who you've been involved with as a rider, I believe.
Yeah, I'm a part of a motorcycle club that also has a Ride for Life kaupapa. So we are supporting causes like White Ribbon, anti-violence, and in particular the Green Ribbon Kaupapa, which is focused around raising awareness against teenage suicide or the rats riding. So that's the kaupapa that actually brought me to the motorcycle club that I belong to. It was to raise awareness against suicide. Sure. And it was a big problem in some of our smaller communities in particular, and Wairarapa was affected quite heavily with this mamai. And we had close friends affected by suicide, which prompted us to get into this kaupapa. That our club belonging, Riding for Life, and doing things about with raising awareness. Also, they're also tautokoing the White Ribbon kaupapa, which is something that I hadn't been exposed to until that point in time. And our club was involved in supporting the White Ribbon Ride, which happens on both islands at about this time of the year, and it's been happening for a few years now, and a few of our club members had supported the rides through both islands. So those kaupapa, those Ride for Life values, and wanting to do something positive for our community, brought me and my wife to Tribal Nations Motorcycle Club, and that's our focus on doing positive things for our community. Gives us a lot of well-being for our own personal lives, because we're both survivors of trauma and violence in the past, and we wanted to break that cycle.
Awesome.
By some of our whānau will acknowledge, realizing and understanding the mana that dwells within us, and growing that, enhancing that, and not damaging it, and then that will help you recognize the mana in other people and take those values and towards your behaviors towards others, which will help produce positive outcomes for our community.
So it's picked on. One of the words you mentioned there later on was trauma, and it seems to be something which is in behind a lot of what occurs, that people who have had trauma struggle with their emotions, and then things get upset, that's when things might escalate. Now, Sharon, you've got an amazing story to share. What parts would you like to share with us today?
Sure. Firstly, I'll speak into, so this is kaupapa today, is around Tani and how we've treated wahine in the past. So I'll just talk a little bit into that. I'll also speak a little bit into what I actually see still in the hapuri, and the behaviours that I still see being applied to our wahine. I'll just stick to that. I'll leave the rest of our pūrākau for another day. But so myself was brought up. I've seen violence. I've seen it all. probably just fortunate that I never carried those behaviours. Now this might sound like I'm justifying my ugly behaviours, but I'm not. I'll speak into these. But I'm happy that I never carried those behaviours on into my relationships. Don't get me wrong, I'm not perfect. I caused some trauma there. Today I can speak into that because I've owned it with my kid's mother. I apologise to her. What I recognise is Tani, we have this ego, and we're in a set mindset of superior, and we act entitled, not only to wahine, but just in general. And that entitlement has a lot of whakapapa. It goes back to that trauma that you speak of.
But also, I think you're touching on there some of the stereotypes of how we are raised in society. And I said, you know, for my generation, that as a male, you're meant to be the breadwinner and all this. You're the protector of your family, you name it all, and you're meant to be boss up and look after everything. And when we see that with our mates around, we believe that's the way to go. Is that sort of resonating?
Not really, because I didn't have a male role model.
Okay, yeah.
I just had strong women in my life. Wahine, my aunties, my mum. But also always had people babysitting me.
Mm.
the behaviour that I still see continue around here is just sharing that it's not good to treat your wahine, you know, the way I see them being treated, whether it's with a threat, whether you're oppressing them because of your intimidating. This is what I see, bro. I'm speaking into what I see around. And, that's not okay. You know, you tell everyone that you love her, you want her loyalty, but then you, and then on the other hand, when the door's shut, you're treating her like paru. Hey, you're belittling her, you're abusing her physically and mentally. Well, it don't add up.
Yeah.
Hey. So we're portraying to everyone out in the community that we have a loving family, we're all roses and, you know, petals, whatever it is, however you want to describe it. But from my own experience and what I'm learning a lot around here in the Wairarapa, there's a lot of this shit going on. Or out of my whānau, there's a lot of this stuff going on, not only in Māori houses, but I've had some non-Māori friends come to me of late and speak of how they live. And I was gobsmacked that 2024, the behaviours that I've seen as like in the 80s, 90s, continue today.
Mm.
For me, though, I fuck a papa back to, and I know it might be hard for some to receive this, these behaviours fuck a papa back to 200 years ago.
Colonisation.
I don't want to say it, but that's through my own akongas, through my own learning. When I fuck a papa, the behaviour, just the behaviour itself, it all goes back to that.
Yeah,
200 years ago. Prior to that, we weren't like that. Yeah, to our wahine, we put them up on a you know what I mean, brother?
Totally.
As the years have gone on, and it's filtered down into every part of our lives. Colonisation, I mean.
Yeah. And I can understand that, and I thought it was an outstanding turnout yesterday for the hikoi.
Yes,
to represent that, hey, yes, there are these injustices, these traumas which we face for generations, yes, and they still sit with us today.
And people's trauma.
And unfortunately, it's represented in statistics through the justice system, and you would probably agree that probably the justice system and even prisons aren't rehabilitating people well enough to overcome it.
There is no rehabilitation in there. All that really is farming, bro.
Yeah.
Okay? That's all just a number. I could speak into the constitution, he fucking preaching, all that stuff, but just the knuckle of why we're here today, it's really all behavioural.
Yeah. So if we bring things back to Wairarapa and, you know, a participant at a particular hui there was asking about the volume of calls are related to family violence. This is to police, and they sort of says about 500 a day. Police said there are 2,300 calls to 111 per day and about 3,000 non-emergency calls to 105. That sort of equates to the police also attending about one incident every 4 minutes. Mm. Clint, can you see any reason as to why those statistics are so high, and considering that they only feel that only about a third of all things are reported?
Is this in the Wairarapa?
Are those statistics? Well, Wairarapa specific is there are 1,200 reported cases in 2023. Whoops, 60% involved intimate partner violence, 25% child abuse, 15% elder abuse. Wairarapa Women's Refuge reported a 10% increase in requests for emergency housing and support services.
Well, let me just say something, whānau. I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist or have any qualifications that can actually speak to these the cause factors in this other than my own life experience.
Mm-hmm.
And like the brother just mentioned, something about colonisation having an effect. You know, we probably have to realise back in the old days our society was pretty much based around the matriarchal system. We did recognise mana wahine and valued that immensely, and men understood their roles in that capacity, and that, you know, when you talk about mana whenua, these things, and hapu and all these things, these are female-related things.
Yes.
And this is where we get our mana from. This is where we talk about our mana, you know, protecting our mana has to start with protecting our wahine, because it all emanates from here. If we don't you know, the reason why we've got the sickness amongst ourselves is because we're not operating the way that we used to operate safely in those in that world. And that colonization looks to us like, you know, it was their Victorian values that diminished the role of woman in our society. True. Which has had an impact on our lives today.
Beautiful.
Because it's we have to get back to recognizing the mana within our wahine, and this is how we retain our mana whenua ki te whenua. You can only get whenua ki te whenua. It doesn't come from a male, it comes from our females. So, you know, we've got to understand this as empowering to ourselves and to our whānaus. And the hikoi also spoke about something else, spoken to by King Tuheitia before he passed away. Very powerful. He talked about kotahitanga. This is something our people need to do and get over all the raru, whatever it might be, iwi, hapu, colours, whatever that looks like, and get back to getting our people back on a healthy track and stop those statistics that you just mentioned. Because our people are ending up in jail, they're ending up committing suicide, they're doing all sorts of things that are harmful. And
a lot of the systems, support systems there, aren't relatable for Māori. Is there truth in that?
I haven't been involved too much in the system myself, fortunately, because I've made a lot of personal choices myself to check my own behaviour before I damaged others.
Mm.
And part of that was about, I'm a firm believer in the word is powerful, and if you say positive affirmations to yourself, like first thing in the morning, give yourself a goal, you might, and sometimes, yeah, you've got built up things that, you know, it might be a straw that breaks the back, but, you know, you try and maintain your dignity and mana, and you make positive choices and you get a better outcome. And I've challenged myself to do that in my life, and this I've kept myself pretty much safe.
Awesome.
It wasn't, beautiful. And I'm not, so I've hopefully broken the cycle of the damage that was been done to our whānau, and trying to turn that around for my whānau for the future.
Yeah. Awesome. Because you've spoken some tools that which you found huge value there. How do those tools translate to a population, to a whole culture? How do you get back to where things were when you saw things as healthy? How do we get out of where they are now with what we have in society? How do we change it? Because I think it's the same for most people, that there are more pressures, there are more stresses, and it's coming from all directions. We see it in the media, it's on all our social bits and pieces. Can we go back in the script?
I don't believe that there's an easy answer for that question, and that, you know, we are aware that there's so many, there's so much damage out there, there's so much mental illness out there. There are some people who can cope with and deal with change. I'm talking about changing themselves, and other people who will never be able to achieve this.
Mm.
So it's a difficult one.
Okay, so maybe Shannon, you're a guy who in recent years has had huge transformation. What have been the keys to changing from, in your mindset? What's been your inspiration? What have been your tools?
My inspiration were two books. But why I did it was really my family turned their back on me. My partner went to the police. Did everything against my beliefs, uplifted my family, court to involve police. I went in to report one day to probation. When I walked out, all my phone numbers had been changed. I'd been passed a trespass notice. I went home and my family was gone.
Wow.
Yeah, and they were placed in hotels around the lower North Island, but that was the knuckle of me shifting. It was the first shift. I've done many shifts, and then going back in. So I was put in jail. I speak openly about this. I was actually put in prison last time for something I never did. You know, people would have heard this a lot. I'm like, I can speak about this today. I've done the time, but I actually didn't do that crime. And I'm not here to try and justify that. That is what it is. But what that did was had me looking at 10 years, 7 years. I ended up having a starting point of, I think it was 6 years, and I got it down to a non-custodial sentence through my endeavour of change.
Mm.
So I was only going to change that rehab to get on top of my my addiction.
So losing that, your far now situation was your motivating factor?
No.
No.
What motivated me was the police charging me for something I never did.
Okay.
And that just suppressed me. And when I looked at them from that cell, because I always remember the picture, this little smirk that they did, but it was at that moment when I told them, you're not getting me. You're not getting me. So anyway, I did what I could to get to rehab. And I'm going to spell, I'll just speak honestly into this. The first Pākehā person I seen in prison that I seen, I wiped them out, put them in a coma. And then I was looking at 14 years. Because I had resentments, of course, of what the Pākehā policeman, yeah, I carried it on to another human. Okay? So I was in there looking, I thought I was getting double figures. And I'm on a raid by myself. Fortunately, prior to that, I'd already applied to go to rehab and I was accepted. Through little fluffy stuff. I ended up getting there eventually anyway, to rehab. Once I was there, this is what I learnt. I was putting adults and other grown men, a patch and a pipe before the children that I bore, the children that I love. But I knew no better.
Mm.
You know, I went to prison. I went to prison as a single man as a 20-year-old. You know, I was over in Aussie robbing banks, jewelry stores, doing what I was doing. and then I came out a single father. I was just a criminal. I didn't know what fatherhood was. A challenge was put in front of me that I didn't know much about. So when I look back at it, I think I sabotaged so I could go out and be the criminal I thought I wanted to be.
With a rise in gang numbers, do you see other people taking that similar journey to you had for similar reasons?
Yeah, well, I was sort of born into it, you know. My father, all my uncles, and if I could speak into that child way back then, I'd probably have a different conversation than the conversation he had when he was 12, when he joined the Nomads. I'd say the conversation would be a lot different.
Yeah.
But that child then had resentment, had anger, had gone through sexual abuse through his own family, sexual abuse in boys' homes. So it'll be a different conversation. It'll be a more mature conversation with that 12-year-old. But I understand that kid now. Totally understand him.
And Matt Brown, She's Not Your Rehab, in that book, it discusses a lot around that. It's really nice to hear someone else's story that you can relate.
Yes.
But it's not just about sitting in that trauma. It's then about taking those steps forward, which is the empowering part.
So he gave me strength.
Mm.
When I first, the first book I read was Escaping Prison. That was Paul Woods. He's a lifer. Now he's a doctor in philosophy and psychology and that. But it was his book. And the second book I had was She's Not Your Rehab.
Mm.
And the vulnerability that he showed in his book gave me strength.
Mm.
And from that I gathered, man, if he can do that to me, I share my pudake. Man, I'm sure I can give one of my cousins strength.
Mm.
Or give one of them some. If I can help one person in my hapuri today, I'm good.
It's a good day. Yeah. Beauty.
I'm all good.
And like, Clint, so you're seen with a bikie gang. I don't know whether that's the correct term, or motorcycle enthusiasts, or how you want to put it.
No, social motorcycle club.
Social motorcycle club.
Yeah.
So there is a way that interest in motorcycles can be promoted in a positive way, whereas some other times it's seen as based on criminality.
They can have the club deregistered from the. I'm not sure if he's wearing a patch or whatever, so patches.
Mm.
But from what I gather of the new legislation from the lawn, numbers, any type of reference to that gang, there's grounds for them to come into your whare and uplift that piece of regalia. However, I'm certain from what I read is you can actually deregister from that list.
Right.
So I'm guessing, for instance, there's a church in motorcycle group. I'm pretty sure they'd fall under that. Mm. And just hearing the my talk in here speak of a social club, do you say that they'd fall under that umbrella as well? But man, that takes away a lot of our human rights, you know, just being able to tell us how to live our lifestyle. And I'm hearing it from the police themselves. They don't want it, they don't want this, however it's coming. But it'd be very, very interesting how they navigate, how they navigate, because I've picked it apart. I'm just the ex-inmate.
Through personal choices, you know, because I imagine, like, I've been there and had the thundering of 40, 50 bikes coming in for White Ribbon, and can't imagine if they sort of had patches on their back, how would that be treated today? But there is a different message behind it. What is it like to be part of a big group of motorcyclists, and why, with your particular group, is there that, hey, we want to do something good, we want to promote, we want to reduce suicide, we want to raise awareness for violence against women?
Mainly in our club, because the members have been impacted by the negativity of violence in particular. I'd say probably 100% of our members have been affected by, negatively affected by violence in the whānau, and they want to change that and also change those dynamics in the community. So they use, like you just said, the noise, the spectacle, the attention, to do exactly that, to get attention, to raise awareness. That's our goal.
Healthy glorification.
Oh, that's it, brother.
Well, that's why we're disappointed. The 2 years in a row now, the riders aren't coming here, because it is such a draw card to bring that awareness.
We had a RATS event here in Masterton 2 years ago, 2000 and well, a few years ago now, probably about 4 years ago. I can't remember exactly the date, but we raised about $4,000 to $5,000 for King Street Artworks. That was the we have an event like that around our four regions around New Zealand. We're actually having one at the moment next week down in Te Turu in Christchurch. To raise awareness against teenage suicide, and that group will they would have identified a community organisation that deals with this kaupapa, and they will be raising funds to give funds to the to that organisation that they've selected. When we run it here in the Wairarapa, we selected King Street Artworks because they were on the ground
hands on
mahi in terms of your hands on providing positive outcomes for people who wanted to do positive things. And it was, rather than give it to a large organisation or a government organisation or an NGO, here's a local organisation that's actually doing things for our local people.
Yeah. So I think sometimes with bigger organisations, are worried your money's going to get lost in the process. So just have a look, we're hearing a couple of wee stories here, and I don't want to get anything wrong, but somewhere along the lines, it seems there's been a point where after trauma, two different paths have been travelled, and that comes down to that choice. Now, we base our choices on what we know. So what's been your inspiration to go, hey, look, I'm not going down a road which leads to crime, violence, further violence, etc.? What was your keel that kept you steady?
Well, basically, I was a victim of sexual abuse when I was a child. Through a broken home situation where my parents through violence in the home, my parents end up splitting. I end up in foster home, end up getting sexually abused. This is just such a common story. But also not falling within the state abuse scenario. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because I wasn't sort of farmed out in the state. I was given to someone who was supposed to be looking after me and in a safe environment. Also, this was a very strong kaupapa Māori environment. It's another thing altogether. You know, there's something in our, this subject needs to be dealt with in the future whānau as well. I'm sure you all know about this, about what that looks like for us, some of us. So that's what brought me to wanting to protect my children in particular, and given my job and that I'm a very community sort of focused sort of person, everything I do every day is for the betterment of the community, for everything. You know, everything I do creates a better environment, not for me or my whānau, but for everybody. That gives me a lot of satisfaction. Yeah. This is my personal kaupapa. So I, you know, have tried to maintain that type of mana and dignity.
You want to break that link of that, if that trauma is not getting passed on.
Yeah.
My children, my taonga, I'm going to look after them.
So I struggle. Even though I recognise people have had trauma in the past and stuff, and they go, and I do recognise that will have an impact on their decision making in the future. Sometimes it's difficult for me to personally deal with that, because when you're hurt, you know that hurts, and you know what that feels like. Now, when you make a choice to do that to others, you've made a choice, and you've made a choice to ignore the empathy part of yourself and of others. So, you know, you own your choices that you make, if they're good or bad or whatever. You know, it's like that's what drives me to make right decisions. And like I said before about positive affirmation, and the word is powerful. In the beginning was the word, and things were created by a word. I believe this. Saying positive things and saying negative things, they have an impact.
Yes.
Positive affirmation builds yourself up. And then when you find yourself challenged, you're then better equipped to be able to step back, walk away, give yourself 5 minutes and readdress it, where in the past you might have reacted.
Yeah. I mean, that's common sense, but unfortunately it's not so common. We're not kind of taught it, and especially as young male. And I'm seeing, say, in the youth space, we're seeing a lot of them, and it comes up, and it's the pushing and shoving, it's the bullying, it's like establishing that pecking order of who's the toughest. It's getting into that man box, and certainly if you experience trauma, and really appreciate you guys sharing your stories, and I live in that same boat as well, and I became a really angry person. I had issues with addiction, etc., and that's how I was dealing with my situation, and I can see once being in that situation where you're affected by alcohol and drugs and things like that, you're more likely to be triggered, you're more likely to react as well. How are we going to prevent our youth coming through? How do we help avoid the same route that some of us have taken? How do we get more of your message out there? Any thoughts on that?
For me, I feel we set better role models, we set better standards for our tamariki, for our mokos, we lead by example. So part of my journey wasn't the healing part. I started with the 12 steps.
Okay, yeah.
But it was actually te ao Māori.
Yeah.
So I was brought up around here when Kura Rāwhiti was East School, first brought in bilingual. And then I disconnected at 12 after the last attack happened at boys' homes. But for 30 years I hadn't spoken my native tongue. For 30 years I hadn't cared about my culture, my real. So I was part of an 18-month program to heal myself. I think I got like 88 months in, and I was allowed to go home.
Nice.
I just quickly figured out real quick.
Things fell into place, you found your authentic self and your identity, your whakapapa.
And I could see what they were doing. They were transitioning my mindset, repetitive goals around te whare tapawha. So my life, I try to apply that to my life, to my whānau, te whare tapawha. And that gives me a good indication on whether my house is standing strong. Mm. Your hine ngaro, your tinana, your whānau, wairua. If they're rocking good, you should have a good foundation for your whare, or your whare should be standing strong. And you know when they're not. You know which wall needs a little bit of mahi done to it to hold that part of the whare up. Hey, we're all adults. We all know what's good and we all know what's bad.
Yeah. That brings me on to an interesting point, because while you're talking there, I'm remembering back at the National Conference for Family Violence held in Wellington earlier this year, and there was this really impactful video showing some looks behind with one of the gangs there, and then the speaker got up and talked about how Māori will heal Māori.
Kia ora.
And totally believe in that. Well, then what you're talking about, Te Whare Tapawha, through my own thing is, I remember going to my doctor and it's pretty much, oh yeah, okay, here's your tray of pills and away you go. And it's like, that ain't going to change nothing. It might reduce my symptoms. So I've actually have some awareness of Te Whare Tapawha, and certainly over time looked at other indigenous models of well-being, and I'm going, shit, there's a lot more healing in there. And I know in Korero with other people in support services, we'll talk about how we treat the person as opposed to an illness.
Yeah.
And we look at that whole holistic view, and I think that's probably an important way moving forward with people in trauma.
Yeah, I think the,
comments on that?
We've got to focus more on the tangata, on the person themselves instead of the actual, you know, the person's one. Because individually, we all navigate trauma differently.
Mm-hmm.
We all receive it differently, and we all express it differently.
Absolutely.
So it's an individual hikoi.
Quite agree, because it's not the size of the trauma, but it's more how we respond and react to it. So it might only seem like that's saying a little trauma harden up, you should be better, but the way that's impacted that person, that a lot of that will come back to what's going on in our brain.
Boo to you, you know, as a child, when an adult saying it to you, boo, I don't know what, that could have some kind of effect on you.
Mm.
That could stay with you forever. Mm-hmm. The impressions you get from my looks, my hair, whatever, those are yours for the rest of your life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so you going boo, you might think that's a fun thing for me, I actually got a fright.
Yes.
And so my reaction comes through more that trauma thing.
Where that boo could have been received by someone else as a rah! Yeah, or a boo.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? It's the individual person, it's the one that's receiving it, and how they navigate through that.
Yeah. Hey, we have a few musical breaks, but the conversation's been so interesting, but we're going to cut to it. And of all people, I'm going to put on Justin Bieber and his message actually relates to what we're kind of talking about, and it's going back to love yourself.
Love yourself. Since you rain on my parade, and all the clubs you get in using my name, you think you broke my heart, oh girl, for goodness sake. You think I'm crying on my own, well I ain't. And I didn't wanna write a song, cause I didn't want anyone thinking I still care or don't. But you still hit my phone up, and baby, I'll be moving on. And I think it should be something I don't wanna hold back. Maybe you should know that my mama don't like you, and she likes everyone. And I never liked to admit that I was wrong. And I've been so caught up in my job, didn't see what's going on. But now I know I'm better sleeping on my own. Cause if you like the way you look that much, oh baby, you should go and love yourself. And if you think that I'm still holding on to something, you should go and love yourself. When you told me that you hated my friends, the only problem was with you and not them. And every time you told me my opinion was wrong, and tried to make me forget where I came from. And I didn't wanna write a song, cause I didn't want anyone thinking I still care or don't. But you still hit my phone up, and baby, I'll be moving on. And I think it should be something I don't wanna hold back. Maybe you should know that my mama don't like you, and she likes everyone. And I never liked to admit that I was wrong. And I've been so caught up in my job, didn't see what's going on. But now I know I'm better sleeping on my own. Cause if you like the way you look that much, oh baby, you should go and love yourself. And if you think that I'm still holding on to something, you should go and love yourself. For all the times that you made me feel small, I
fell in love, now I feel nothing at all. I never felt so low when I was vulnerable. Was I a fool to let you break down my walls? Cause if you like the way you look that much, oh baby, you should go and love yourself. And if you think that I'm still holding on to something, you should go and love yourself. Cause if you like the way you look that much, oh baby, you should go and love yourself. And if you think that I'm still holding on to something, you should go and love yourself.
So that's where
Fucker Pop is
back to.
Welcome back. We're here at Arrow FM 92.7. We've got a special guest, Clint and Shannon, on, and we've been talking White Ribbon. We are branching out from White Ribbon because I think that the bigger aspects of trauma, violence, and what's prevalent in our society is also coming through. So we're having a good chat in the background there while old Biebs was doing his bit. And we're talking about the female aspect of this violence. Do you want to pick up on the conversation there?
We've got something here to challenge our male Māori whānau. You know, we want you to think about this one. Where are you at with your, your Māori mana, with your mana, with your male Māori mana, and what does that look like to you and your whānau? I don't know how to really articulate this, but I was just saying to my colleagues here that there's a strong element within our Māori culture that focuses on aggression, on male aggression in particular, and this is quite visible, and it presents itself in haka. We all recognise and value what that is, but there's an element there that sort of like that we're missing out on. There's a female element to this aspect that helps keep us safe within our hine ngaro. And the brother might be able to articulate a little bit more on this subject because he's just come back from studying.
On this haerenga that I'm on for healing, what I've gathered is, so there's 176 male atuas, gods, and so there's 176 female. And in these teachings, like, for every behaviour, for every body part, for whatever is going on, for every, there's a God that actually whakapapa's back. So, to say I'm talking about suicide, so whakamomori, so there's a God for that. And the healing space that I'm learning as I've gone along is the female God. Yeah. I think we were speaking earlier too, bro, about, so this is only me speaking because I haven't done enough research, but I feel like the male dominance came in with colonisation, because evidence shows, even in our karangas, on the marae is the mana was with our wahine. Even the design of the marae and whatnot is a replication of the wahine's waiwais. So good that you brought that up, bro.
Well, and the waharoa,
that's what I was going to say.
Most men who needed to be humbled had to walk through under the waharoa, which was under the genitals of a female, and that effectively, took the mana of these people who thought they had a bit of mana. So there's this aspect to our culture, whānau, that would be healthy for us to acknowledge and readdress the mana wahine, mana whenua, hapu, you know, all that sort of those elements where we get our mana from, the female elements, whānau.
Hey Mike, I got to interrupt you because I got to be something at 4, but I'm going to bounce, but I want to come back with the bro if you're all good to, even off air. I'd like to do some mahi with you, bro, down in Carterton. I live down there now. I'm not sure how that looks. You can lead us, but I'm pretty sure sitting next to you, I will be able to make something happen for our men. Even if we had our own tāne, it'll be, I'm not sure.
Aye.
I'll just turn up and sit there and listen. But I'm going to depart right here. I just want to thank you for inviting me in, Bri. I'm going to look forward to our future endeavours. They'll continue.
Beauty.
I'm into authentic
stuff. We really appreciate your sharing and just being so open. And to me, that vulnerability is a difference from people being able to regulate their emotions and be in those healthy spaces. And so thank you for sharing your wisdom. Really appreciate it.
I'm a here, brother. And I'll catch up with you some more. I'll actually message you, my brother. Now, here you go. Can I tell you?
I actually think we're having a family.
Yeah.
Thank you for your space. I'll catch up some more.
Not my here.
I'm a here, brother.
Awesome. Brilliant. Well, you're right there.
Yep, good.
Yeah. Because just we touch on a wee bit there, is a bit of that with colonisation. It seems like this is where a lot of trauma might have been birthed in terms of the disruption and conflict arising, and that's just remained with generations through. Kind of explains for Māori, it doesn't explain for Pākehā as to why we're also such a violent lot, or that's what we've actually brought over and continued because of our hierarchy of systems of power and control.
What we're talking about is the human condition, aren't we, Mike? Yeah, I don't think we can say that it belongs to one particular group of people. I think this is a human condition.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Mm. Yeah. All humans. If we were English people living in London, and you supported Chelsea and I supported Arsenal, that's a good enough reason for us to have a fight. So,
and it goes back through all religious wars, etc. and that.
Yeah.
And even today, we've got people there wanting to send bombs and that off to other countries, and it's the innocent getting killed. So that violence really gets escalated. It's just been throughout history, hasn't it, and continues.
Well, that's, you know, the human condition. There's an element of human competition that humans want to adept at. People get satisfaction out of competing and beating each other.
Mm.
This is why we enjoy sports and things like that. Enjoy achievement. We get satisfaction out of achieving things. And sometimes that can be competitive, and it can turn into violence.
Well, that particular wiring of the brain, unless you've got that great control, that's going to continue into the family home, isn't it? And it comes back to things like being judgmental of other people, having expectations, the criticisms, etc. It causes the conflict, it escalates.
And our national game would be an example of controlled violence that's admired in our society.
Mm.
You know, so there's an example of competition that turns mildly violent, but it's admired. So, you know, you've got all of this within our society. You've got people who are rewarded for killing people in armies and things like that. And we have another a different story in our society where we push back against violence. But if we identify a group of people that we're quite prepared to be violent against, that's a different story. Mm. So there's mixed messages going on in our society as well that aren't helpful.
And especially when that's portrayed in the media as a positive thing. You know, I'm thinking about the All Blacks, and you know, you'd always get up in the morning or whenever it was to watch and support them, and despite that brutality on there, the fights would break out, whatever it is, that we would support our team, and you fail to see what might actually be right or wrong within that.
Keep it in balance, keep it in context, and keep it in under control.
Mm. But we can also then see how, as we've grown up, we've been kind of programmed in that way and have that expectation. We're in our relationships, we're so busy about winning or being better than our partner, we're more focused on being about right or wrong rather than, focusing on how do we keep that healthy relationships. So if we are looking at, you know, White Ribbon, we've got this event coming up. What's the key messages that we need to get out to our communities?
Well, one of the key messages I like to promote with the White Ribbon Kaupapa is say yes to respect. It's an old cliche almost, but it's an old topic from the couple of years ago. It was a catchphrase from the White Ribbon Kaupapa a couple of years ago, but I think that phrase in particular speaks volumes to me. the White Ribbon Kaupapa speaks towards violence against women, but I like to speak about violence against everybody, and in particular children, you know, and violence towards men as well. Mm. These things can't be ignored, you know, when we talk about violence.
We look at the media, we're seeing woman loss of life, we're seeing kids loss of life because of males, their inability to regulate. But then again, it's also male versus male as well. It's stats are going up, you know, we seem to really be struggling. So I'm really hoping that White Ribbon this year can help to raise a bit of awareness. We are looking at on the 25th, if you can see that, 25th, we're in the Masterton Library Square. We're going to have a barbecue, so there's free food there between 11:30 and 1:30. So if you're wearing a white ribbon, you can join in with the free food, but also realise we've got some prizes there, which Cameron had gone to. We've also got some prizes, so if you're wearing that white ribbon on the day, chance to win some prizes. And it's not so much about winning the prize, but really that, hey, we appreciate you wearing that white ribbon to show you are supporting it. You're understanding that violence is not wanted in our society for the harm it causes. Speaking of some of that harm, you know, we talk about how it is on the individual and the families and things like that. What do you know about that ripple effect?
The ripple effect?
Yeah. So if there was to be a particular incident and it then gets reported, how then that affects friends, family, you're then bringing in potentially the police, you're potentially going to the court, maybe there's the medical people, then it's counselling, boom, boom, boom. Things can get way out of control.
Yeah, like the brother said before, it's an individual, how you're going to handle that and respond to that is an individual thing. That it will affect different people in different ways. Even though someone might not seem to be affected, doesn't mean that they're not. And the ripple effect is particularly harsh on the children who are involved in the peripheral of on the edges of the violence within the family, and that's not a good space for anyone. And when I talk about respectful relationships, I'd like to also mention, you know, that also goes for females who might be being disrespectful towards their men as well. That's not helpful. It doesn't help the family situation. If you know, whoever's doing the bad behaviour, they might need to just stop it.
Mm. But there's also a lot of incidences where the children may witness what's going on. Is that going to increase their prevalence when they're adults? That, hey, this is what my dad does, this is how my mum acts, that this is how a relationship goes as I get older?
For some people, that's obviously the case. For others, that's not the case. In my example, that isn't the case. I've been a victim of violence. I've been a victim of abuse. And I have not perpetuated any violence or abuse on others. So it will affect everyone differently.
And that's just such a brilliant wee story in itself there, that people have that choice and can make those same decisions that you have and not let that continue. For White Ribbon, coming back, if you want to get a White Ribbon so you can get your free sausages, we've got a range of places which are storing at the moment, and that is currently growing. So pop down to the Community Trust Recreation Centre at the swimming pools. They have them there. Mitre 10 are about to get them. They are the ones hosting our barbecue. Subway, Life Pharmacy, these are all in Masterton, of course. Michael Hill Jeweller, Fadeaway Barbers, Urban Eats, the library, they even get a display going on there. We're getting some into Cracker Jacks. Those at UCOL, we've got a whole pile there. Te Heora, Whai Ora, Changeability, all got those white ribbons. So if you can collect yours, come along and join us. We've got some speakers along there to talk on these topics. So if anything we've been talking about today resonates with you, do come along, and we do have a bit of a shared mic that people can share some of their experiences, and we especially want to hear some of those stories of people, how they've changed it around and improved things for the future. So, Clint, what's your keys to maintaining a healthy relationship? Because I think if we look at, say, school kids coming through, they get into relationships, there's not a whole lot of education around there. There needs to be some sort of accountability or some sort of barrier to question their behaviours to bounce off. What are your keys for your long-time healthy relationship?
positive affirmation, saying positive things to yourself to prepare yourself to be a bit more resilient with the challenges that come your way, and so that you're able to deal with them with the challenges, that you don't pass on any negativity towards others. That's the way I deal with it. That's just the way that I deal with it. I positive affirmation. I use positive affirmation to give myself a positive goal and try and maintain that. Now, that's what works for me. I can't speak for anyone else. Yeah. I haven't got the training. I'm not a psychologist. I don't have the background to be able to give anyone any other advice than my life experience, and these are the things that I do. So if it helps somebody else, good on. It's good.
I think that's great, because we don't always necessarily need to have a psychologist or things like that. There are that we can, through our own neuroplasticity, look at a situation and try and look at the positives for it, try and work out how what's the best outcome for everyone involved. But in saying that, there are many support services out. As a member of the Wairarapa Family Violence Network, we have a number of men's groups around. We've got the Healthy Relationships Program run through Changeability, Ahu Collective and Fiora both run men's groups. There's a number of others there. The Wahine o Ngāhere, also from the Ahu Collective, is one for females who might have experienced trauma in their lives. We have elder abuse, people like Age Concern helping out. We've got workers at Youthline, we've got Rural Support Trust. So there's a whole pile of people out there who can help. And what we really recommend is, for people who are struggling, we're not here to judge you, but to say, hey, reach out, connect with someone, and maybe those supports can be in place. Maybe, as Shannon highlighted also, get into some reading, do some learning. There is other ways, different ways to learn about what you are currently doing. Or as Clint has role modelled with us, that, hey, it comes back to making those personal decisions. Make a conscious decision. Be aware of how your actions are going to impact on others, and choose the one that is going to have the best outcome towards everyone. So we're pretty much going to wrap it up there. Have you got any last words, any best piece of advice you'd like to round up the show with us today, Clint?
I'd just like to say yes to respect, be nice to others. Thank you to the brother for his contribution, and thank you, Mike.
If you say respect, how does that look? Because I think sometimes it's a word. How do we actually action respect?
Respect gets respect in my books. It's if you're going to show disrespect, that's what will be reflected back at you. So respectful behaviour looks like being polite, being attentive, being honest.
Good as gold. Really appreciate you coming in and sharing and being so open about everything, and can understand why you're a White Ribbon Ambassador. And good luck to you and the rest of your crew there who get out and spread the good message, not only about violence against women, but against suicide. Absolutely legendary. Awesome. And so we're around our show today here at Well 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 with a bit of Better Together from Jack Johnson. Have a good time. Thanks very much.
There's no combination of words I could put on the back of a postcard. No song that I could sing, but I can try for your heart. Our dreams, and they are made out of real things, like a shoebox of photographs with sepia tone loving. Love is the answer, at least for most of the questions of my heart, like why are we here and where do we go, and how come we're so hard. It's not always easy, and sometimes life can be deceiving. I'll tell you one thing, it's always better when we're together. It's always better when we're together. Yeah, we'll look at them stars when we're together. Well, it's always better when we're together. Yeah, it's always better when we're together.
words just might find their way into my dreams tonight. But I know that they'll be gone when the morning light sings or brings new things. For tomorrow night you see that they'll be gone too. Too many things I have to do. But if all of these dreams might find their way into my day-to-day scene, I'd be under the impression I was somewhere in between. With only two, just me and you, not so many things we got to do or places we got to be. We'll sit beneath the mango tree now. Yeah, it's always better when we're together. We're somewhere in between together. Well, it's always better when we're together. Yeah, it's always better when we're together. When I sleep, hey, now and when I wake up, you look so pretty sleeping next to me. But there is not enough time, and there is no song I could sing, and there is no combination of words I could say. But I will still tell you one thing, we're better together.
Ladies and gentlemen,